Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. Today, I'm joined by Peter Mullins, who is the CMO of SetSail. Peter, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, super excited to be here, Mason. Love the content, love the show. Very glad to be here.
You're very kind. And I have to say, you have the perfect voice for a podcast. Like, I hopped on, I was like, ooh, this is going to be a good episode because I'm going to enjoy actually listening back to it. And on top of that, you've got some great insights specifically to share. And we're going to dig into really a lot around sales and marketing alignment and specifically how to develop effective feedback loops with your sales teams.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been asked the question a lot recently, like, how do you make sure that ABM isn't just demand gen 2.0? And it is truly that partnership with sales and making sure you've established those feedback loops. So really, Peter, I'd love to just dig in. And could you give us the high level of how you at SetSail and in past organizations have helped to establish some of those feedback loops with your sales team?
Yeah. And I think the first thing that has to happen is that sales and marketing have to be on the same page. We talk about alignment, but we don't really talk about what alignment really means. I think there's a few things that can start to get you on the right page, and then the feedback can come afterwards. First thing is like common definitions. It's really surprising how simple this is, a common definition of who is the ideal customer, who's the ideal persona at those customers, and then share that list. Like the idea that marketing is targeting an entirely different list than what sales is going after, to me, is bonkers. It's you have to be going after the same list. So that's one. The second one is around stages. Once you have the right people in place, the right kinds of customers, the right persona, you still need to make sure that when you're passing off a lead to become an SQL or whatever stage you have, that there's a shared definition of it's leaving MQL, it's entering SQL. We need to have an agreement on what that definition is. And then if you're not circling back on that every week, every quarter, making sure that those definitions are lined up, you're going to be lost. And then the last thing is the revenue goal. I think that increasingly marketing is a sales channel, and you need to have a revenue target. That doesn't mean that everything needs to be marketing sourced. I think everything is marketing sourced, and just marketing has to be signed up for that revenue number as well. So if you get those three things, then we can start talking about feedback. So alignment on who you're actually selling to, alignment on what progression through the sales and marketing funnel, the buyer journey looks like, and then making sure that you're aligned on the revenue goal, not just marketing influence, but the revenue goal entirely.
Yeah, and I really love the call out of you can't have effective feedback if you don't know what you're actually all aiming towards, because then you're going to get feedback on things where it's like, oh, I thought we were already on the same page about that. We are like way further back than I thought we were. And
right.
Again, I specifically love the call out around definitions. One of the first things that we do with every single one of our clients is actually define what we refer to as an account progression model. So what is the awareness stage? And like, how do you move an account out of awareness into initial engagement? And like, where does sales get involved in this process? And just like having clear definitions that move an account from one stage to the next. And then the other thing that people don't think about is moving accounts back. Because like sometimes an account is ready to be engaged and have a meeting, and then they take meetings with other vendors and they buy another solution. But if you just keep them in that stage, you're wasting your seller's time. So I love the call out. We have to have clearly defined definitions in order to actually get effective feedback.
That's right. Yeah. And I love that the definition holds constant, but the individual or the company, they can move back and forth. Everyone talks these days about how the buyer's journey is not linear. That's right. But that doesn't mean that a linear progression is not right for your sales stage. It just means that someone can come in and they can move around, and downgrading their level of interest or intent is perfectly fine. It just means that you should approach them in a different way with perhaps a different messaging, test different things. but it doesn't change the fact that someone is either less interested or more interested. Just so happens that they can go into that journey in their own way.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to give a quick example of even myself this morning. I explored a bunch of different like marketing ops providers and support like 3 months ago. Wasn't interested, ended up going a different direction.
Yeah.
We just had an influx of work. I'm like, all right, well, I need some short-term ops support. So I messaged the CMO at that company, sorry, CEO of the company. He sent me a contract. And I was interested 3 months ago. I'm no longer interested to find a different solution. And now I'm like right back to like contract stage. I'm like,
right.
That's just how often buying goes.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where some of that feedback comes in from sales. There's going to be lots of feedback I think that you and I are going to discuss. But one of those is around the journey and what prospects look like in that journey. And sales is a great vehicle for giving that feedback to marketing. So the why I think it's so important that the lists are precisely the same for what marketing and sales are targeting is because there's a lot of work that marketing can be doing to reinforce interest deep in the funnel. And yep. And so like in your case where you were considering a marketing ops solution and you stewed on it for a while and then came back, that's where even just simple tactics like remarketing, retargeting, some drip programs, it doesn't need to be super complicated, but keeping that one company top of mind. Because I don't always remember which ones I was investigating back in the day. And I gotta keep looking back to see who I was thinking about. If it's helpful material that's being pushed by marketing to someone through even when they're just stewing on things, I'm gonna have a positive disposition towards that company and probably come back.
No, I love it. So one of the things that I wanna quickly address is we talk about feedback. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen the same number of memes that I've seen on LinkedIn of like, marketing is so great because everybody has an opinion on how to do your job. So I'm curious for you, like, how do you structure feedback and how do you appropriately balance like inviting feedback from sales? Because I'm now as a founder sitting in like this weird intersection of marketing and sales, but I've also been sitting in a sales seat where I gave feedback to marketing. I've been sitting in a marketing seat where I've received feedback from marketing, and depending on the relationship, that goes really well or really poorly. So I'm curious, like, how do you even structure receiving feedback from any department, but specifically sales?
Yeah. And I think there's like different types of feedback that marketing can be soliciting. And so there's generalized feedback, and that might be on a campaign. It might be on the ICP, et cetera. And I think it's important that you do get that kind of less structured kind of feedback from sellers, sales managers, sales leadership. And that can come through, hopefully, if you're a marketer, you're on the pipeline calls. You're on, if you have an outbound, like a pipe gen type meetings, you should be on that 100%, at least on a monthly basis, if not weekly. And so you should be getting that kind of unstructured feedback all the time. I think it's important to get that unstructured feedback because not only is it raw, but it also just is a venting point for sellers. Like they're able to give you that unstructured feedback and feel like they're part of the process. However, just going to your CRM and getting a report on which competitors, you know, that were part of a deal or loss reasons, that's going to be insufficient. And similarly, getting the input from sellers themselves in that unstructured way is also going to be insufficient because it's often loudest voice, it's recency. You've got a lot of fallacious reasons that are fallacious problems that kind of enter in and make it difficult for you to extract real meaning from it. I think what you need to do is ultimately go to the buyer themselves, the customer themselves, and that's where the best feedback loop comes in. So you get that through a lot of different things. There's obvious stuff that marketing's been doing forever, and that is like behavioral stuff, say A/B testing on a landing page or A/B testing on content or other types of things where you're getting numbers, you're quantifying their reaction, and you can prove this message was more resonant than this one, this campaign was more resonant, et cetera. But there's also a way to get structured feedback from unstructured things, which is the emails that a seller is sending to their prospects and the prospects replying on in the conversation, the conversations that are happening over a gong or fireflies or a whatever, and all those call transcripts that are happening. There's just an incredible wealth of information that's happening between your SDRs, your account execs, your CSMs, and your customers all the time. And that's gold feedback that you should be processing. Luckily, AI does a great job of being able to condense that. But I think that's where we need to be heading as marketers, is not just relying on A/B testing, but getting hearing it directly from customers. And you can't just go to a customer and ask for an interview and get their feedback, because they're gonna water things down. They're not gonna want to offend you and the like. But so more raw things that come from those emails, those call transcripts, I think is a great source.
Yeah. So I want to make sure I'm hearing correctly is, yes, you can do A/B testing. That's helpful if you want to get some form of feedback at scale. But I don't know about you. I find so much value in the qualitative data that I receive, and like how somebody said something is super helpful in understanding how they truly feel about something. So it's looking at the way that emails are written and how they respond to things. It's looking back at call transcripts, and even potentially if you can see call recordings. In my own personal experience, when I've looked back at call recordings from my sales team, mm-hmm. and your seller may be presenting something and they're not necessarily paying attention to the facial expressions, but like there are some people that cannot have a poker face. So like they show you exactly what they're feeling if you just look at their face.
Yeah.
And that kind of feedback from the buyer has been monumental in my understanding of how should we position and repackage and repurpose some of the content that we're putting out. So again, I love the call outs around, yes, sales feedback is helpful, but the best feedback is always going to be from your buyers.
That's right. And then you can get into that loop, I think, really well, which is you get the feedback that's coming from all those conversations, or even from the A/B testing, from quantitative as well. And to me, that's where you can structure a conversation with your internal sales team. So now you go back, you've digested that information, and now you have a point of view. Because I don't like it's necessary, but it's not a great strategy for a marketer to just say, all right, office hours are here. Tell me your brilliant ideas, sales team. That's not helping anyone. You're just going to get, again, the loudest voice. But if you are processing your data, if you are analyzing these calls, if you're looking at win data and pipeline velocity, and you're looking at like real metrics on what's happening within the sales funnel, you can come back with a perspective, right? Like marketers should not be shy about having a perspective on what's going on in the sales funnel and testing it with internal sales teams and sales leadership. And I think that's much more healthy and productive than just cap in hand waiting for feedback from sellers. Go in with a perspective and an opinion.
And again, I love the way that you're framing this, because it's not, for lack of a word, just marketing getting feedback from sales on how much our messaging sucks and how much we don't actually understand the buyers, but it's, sorry, maybe that's some of my own past experience coming out for a moment, but it's more of a two-way conversation of, hey, I've also reviewed some of the information and some of the data.
Yeah.
These are the things that we're doing exceptionally well. These are the areas that we could improve. What do you guys think? And how do we work together to close this gap?
That's right. Yeah, I think that's right. You need to have that kind of collaborative approach for sure. And collaborative goes both ways. And I think marketers too often are taking a deferential approach to sales and saying, and so if you want to have collaboration, collaboration doesn't mean you give me your opinion and it's perfect as it is. That's not true. Collaboration requires pushback, requires me as a marketer to have an opinion and stand by it when the data is proving me correct. So feedback, I think feedback is a cycle, right? And I think that's important to not just take it as being a suggestion box that anyone can stuff anything into.
I really love that. And I only have one further question on this front. It's just like, how do you build this culture? Because I, in past organizations, maybe I was too low on the totem pole, but I've tried to build organization structure around some of these things, and it generally fell potentially on deaf ears. So I'm just curious, like, how are you building this structure? And I know currently you're the CMO, but I'm curious, is maybe not from a C-suite perspective, if you've had the opportunity to build structure like this, where it was more bottom up than top down.
Yeah, I was very long ago in a marketing team where we put together a program. Very excited about the program. We were excited. It thought it was going to have a big impact. Marketing leader got up and presented it at a big team meeting. The whole company's there. Sales leader got up and said, I cannot believe that you're going to go to market with this. It has absolutely no bearing on our target. The messaging is all wrong. It just goes on and on. And that just stuck with me so much. It's like this idea, first off, it was terrible leadership on both parts. One, to have that kind of feedback in open forum. And number two, not to build that trust and build the feedback ahead of time in order to get a view on the program. And that's really just stuck with me ever since then, is you have got to be on the same page about who the target is and what the messaging is. So how do you start that? You're right. Like the culture of trust has to be there. And there was no trust in this, in that relationship, clearly, that kind of thing happens. And I think trust comes from being open. I don't know entirely what the ideal customer is, and I don't know what the persona is. I may have a perspective, but I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to be proven wrong. And I think that requires also sales to feel the same way. Just because they're at the coal mine, the coal face, doesn't mean that they have all the answers to, nor can they do things at scale the same way that a marketer can do. And so you have to start with that level of trust. And just to bring it circled back to the beginning, a lot of that trust is based on firm foundations.
Yep.
And so if you start with the agreement on the ICP, the stages, the goals, et cetera, and get commitment from everyone, that's going to do you a lot of favors in terms of building that trust.
And I specifically love the call out back to, this is why foundations are so important. Like, nobody loves to do the definitions workshop.
Right.
You're like, this feels like a waste of time.
Yeah.
But if we don't know what our terms mean, we could all be saying these same words and mean different things. And as a result, we'll never be on the same page. I've done a ton of ABM workshops, and I always start with, this is the definition of ABM.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I like at Spreedly company previously, we had the taxonomy spreadsheet and just definitions. And that was, and it was so helpful for everyone to just know precisely what, even things like, what is a customer? Because there were people that used the product in a free, there was a free variety of it, and they were using it. Are they a customer? Well, of course they are, but there was disagreement over if they're not paying, then they're not a customer. There was like disagreement over that. But once everyone was on the same page, it just made the conversation so much easier. So couldn't agree more that shared definitions matter.
And then the other thought I wanted to mention on culture, and this was something that a much more experienced marketer made mention to me of quite a few years ago, just like, if you're in an interview process and you meet the CMO and the CRO in your interview process, you want to make sure that they're the kind of people you could see going out for drinks after work, or like hanging out on the weekend and actually having a good time. Because if you can't see that, they probably aren't going to have a great relationship. And it's not just a leadership issue. That's then you'll never have the right culture in place to get these kind of feedback loops.
Yeah, you're totally right. I've really prided myself on having built relationship with sales leaders. One other kind of angle I just want to throw out there that's more kind of forward looking is, increasingly, like in a world where there's product led growth, where marketing is able to do things at scale, where people are in some markets entirely reluctant to talk to sales, marketers have to realize that they're not just developing leads that are passed on or developing demand that's passed on. They're actually closing business.
Yeah.
And so in many of these organizations, marketing is providing feedback to itself. There may not even be a sales organization. So I think marketers, increasingly, we all need to get more confidence around the fact that we're closing business. There's no shortage of tech companies that do this right now and have done it successfully, where, you know, particularly at the SMB side, where they don't have a sales team at all. It's marketing entirely from tip to tail that's doing the lead generation through close, through upsell and retention. I think just marketers need to have that confidence that we are revenue generators.
Last couple of questions before we close it, but I'm just curious, you've clearly built these kinds of feedback loops in organizations previously. How has it changed the actual marketing programs, and what have been some of the results you've been able to generate through kind of these constant feedback loops?
Yeah, the feedback, I think where it really plays in, I think where I've seen the most success is, number one, around targeting. I think there's like ABM approaches, I think, are most successful when you're able to say, I know precisely who the customer is. I know precisely what this list of customers are, and I know how to chase after them. And maybe I'll expand on the chase after them, where they get their information, where they look for solutions to problems, the channels to them to provide the information that they're looking for at a given time. So I think about, for instance, like some of our biggest successes. I'll talk about one where we had a very small customer at one of our, this is at a couple of companies ago, and there was a very small customer. They were just starting to grow, but they didn't really know the full extent of the product and how it could be used for them. So the feedback loop that we got was from customer success. It was less from sales, but customer success was providing feedback around what was the functionality that they were using within the product. And we recognized that they were just using a very small subset of the total picture. And so we just started a marketing program to them, which was actually interesting. It was like bringing the leaders in for interviews and on podcasts and just discussing with them their strategy. And it ended up opening up their mind to the rest of the platform. And the result was that they started baking it into other divisions within the company. And we just grew with them. And so we grew out. And so the feedback in this case came from the field, but it was from customer success, them just describing where it was embedded. And I think it's not only a sales thing, it was also like a retention thing. Because if they were only using a fraction of the product, they're potentially going to churn. It just becomes less important on an ongoing basis. And another program that we did was we ran built a community at Spreedly, where we had built up, it was like 2,500 attendees at peak. And it was like a conference with panels and speakers and stuff on fintech topics. And in that case, the feedback we were getting from sales was we were in a new market. We were trying to convince people of this new way of doing things. And it was tough because people didn't see others and other peers out there doing what the market chain required. And so by doing a community, we were able to prove to all of these prospects and customers that they've got peers out there that are doing precisely this. And so we know that the challenge was one of changing something fundamental about the way they do work. We wouldn't have known that the best step was just to build a community and to show people that others are doing the exact same thing. And then that led to just incredible growth. And we had speakers from like Netflix and Disney and Grofer and Grab, just HBO and all these major companies that were there. And it was just phenomenal success, but we wouldn't have had that insight if we didn't get that from sales feedback.
Yeah. And I love specifically the call out around oftentimes when we are working with just our own internal team, we feel like we're the only ones that are struggling with this. And I love the call out around one of the major things that might be beneficial is just to show people other people that are solving bigger problems with your solutions as well. And that's a feedback that you're not going to get unless you're in the sales org or the CS org. So I love that call out. The question for me is just, we've talked a lot around feedback loops, but I am just curious if there's any kind of, for lack of a word, like general feedback that you, or not feedback, but general advice that you'd like to give for anybody that's trying to get an ABM program off the ground for the first time.
Yeah, I think that the number one thing that I think of when I think of a successful ABM program is the customer, is just starting precisely with them. ABM at its heart is concentrating on the value that you can provide to a customer and how you can help to move them along. And it may be simple, but it may seem to be simple, but there are a lot of excellent frameworks. And I know that like you've done incredible work in that too, where you just have to go back to first principles on what your customer really needs. What are the attributes of that customer? What are the internal dynamics of that customer? And just be really open to looking dumb about who your customer is. And that's terrible. Like I've gone through this exercise many times over the last few years, and it's awkward. It's really awkward. If you can do it in person, better, because the awkwardness in person somehow is a little bit better. But be vulnerable enough to admit that you don't know everything and truly understand your customer and their motivations.
I could not agree more, specifically in the part around like feeling like it's okay to ask really dumb questions and to look dumb for a moment and go back to first principles. Like I remember I showcased kind of the ABM framework that we had developed here at Scrappy to a really like incredible ABMer. They'd been like massively in the enterprise space, generated like, I think hundreds of millions of dollars for their ABM program. And I showcased it to her. She was like, "That's it." And I was like, but then when we really broke it down, she is so advanced in her understanding and knowledge. She's like the 1% of ABMers. The other 90% of people, I'm better at math. I recognize there's a 9% that's somewhere in the middle there, but like the other 90% of people, they've never built it. Like they just need the fundamentals and the foundation. Right. So like to people that are super smart, are like, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's okay because it's not for them. But if you can actually dumb it down, clearly define what you're trying to accomplish, like it's going to make everything easier long term. And back to feedback loops, you're going to create great feedback loops because everybody knows what you're talking about.
That's right. And then into the culture that you're mentioning, like if you're the marketing leader, you have to be at the forefront of being vulnerable on these first principle things. You have to be, you cannot be walking in pretending that you're the smartest person in the room. You have to admit that you don't know it all and make sure that everyone else feels comfortable doing that and do your best to support that with others.
I just love it. All right. If people want to find out more about you and SetSail, where can they find you and where can they find SetSail?
Yeah. So LinkedIn's a great spot. There's, you can go to SetSail's page there. You can go to my page there as well. It's /Peter Mullins, and would love to interact with you on either form.
I love it. And real quick, for anybody that's okay, this is all great. Really enjoyed the conversation. Like, what does SetSail do as a side?
Sure. SetSail fundamentally is a data and AI solution for sellers. Basically what it does is it captures data from every call transcript, calendar, email, et cetera, distills it, and then provides insights via AI to sellers and others so that they can plan better meetings, have better conversations, and ultimately move deals forward.
I love it. Well, again, Peter, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. Hope you all enjoyed. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.